And the gospel reading that inspired that song and others like it, found in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 1 through to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord add his blessing to his word to us today. Just reading a couple of verses from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. The letter to the Hebrews, verse chapter 1 and from verse 1. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. G.K. Chesterton puts it like this: "There has fallen on earth for a token a God too great for the sky. He has burst out of all things and broken the bounds of eternity. Into time and the terminal land he has strayed like a thief or a lover, for the wine of the world brims over, its splendor is spilt on the sand. Who is proud when the heavens are humble? Who mounts if the mountains fall? If the fixed stars topple and tumble and the deluge of love drowns all, who rears up his head for a crown? Who holds up his will for a warrant? Who strives with the starry torrent when all that is good goes down? For in dread of such falling and failing, the fallen angels fell. inverted in insolence, scaling the hanging mountain of hell, but unmeasured of plummet and rod, too deep for their sight to scan, outrushing the fall of man, is the height of the fall of God. Glory to God in the lowest, the spout of the stars in spate, where thunderbolt thinks to be slowest and the lightning fears to be late. As men die for sunken gem, pursuing, we hunt and hound it. The fallen star has found it in the cavern of Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest, said the angels. Glory to God in the lowest, says Chesterton. And both are right, for the highest has this day become the lowest. From the heights of heaven to the depth of man's depravity, a divine transaction incarnated in a human birth, the ultimate act of vulnerability. The sovereign Lord of the universe, creator, preserver, and governor of all things, subjects himself to the human experience and every aspect of it. Vulnerable, because divinity is now dependent on humanity for even the most simple everyday necessities. The writer to the Hebrews, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, and the exact representation of his being on this day is human frailty, a child born in humility, poverty, and obscurity. But to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is the Messiah, the Lord, sang the angels. And to people like us, a Saviour is born. Salvation is at hand. Rescue is available. The great kingdom reversal is underway. For the one who is the exact representation of God's being is among us. Word become flesh. And in the vulnerability of the babe of Bethlehem, we encounter God's final word to his creation. The word made flesh, full of grace and truth. The only one through whom we may encounter his glory. And so there is the paradox of humility and glory right there in the manger. The highest has become the lowest, and in so doing is raised to the highest of thrones and receives when the time is fulfilled the completed kingdom. The sustainer of all that is created is now become king of the new creation, and we encounter all of that mystery in this child, in this manger, in that moment, 2,000 years ago. Think for a moment of what God has done and wonder again at the angel's declaration to shepherds in a Bethlehem field. And the same declaration is made to the people of Newcastle in 2017. For to you is born this day a Saviour, Christ the Lord. To you is born this day a Saviour, Christ the Lord. And we recognise on this day that in Christ God has entered fully into the human experience. The manger points to that reality, for the manger points beyond its occupant, the king, beyond itself to its occupant, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And whilst Roman emperors organise a census to count, tax and subjugate their people, into the human story, the incarnation of Christ brings to one who enters into every human story, yours and mine. And in the midst of all that, human power systems strive to do, to sustain and extend themselves. The cry of a newborn king is the cry that announces God's final word. In these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. Centuries later, and human power systems still strive to have the last word. The things that belong to death still strive to have the last word. Death itself wants to be the last word spoken over every human life. But the infant Christ announces that not only does he, but he is the final word. The firstborn over all creation is, will be, and shall have the final word. And the final word for those who believe in him is not death or the things that belong to death, but life and life to the full. For to you this day is born a Saviour. The highest has become the lowest. There is no depth you can sink to where he won't find you and call you back to himself. If you think you can sink low, he will sink lower still, because the highest wants you back. And God's last word that brings life comes in vulnerability, comes with great risk. And as the baby's birth cries are heard in Bethlehem, you and I can hear the sounds of grace. Glory in the highest has become glory in the lowest, in order that your lowest and mine can be raised to the highest. Glory in the highest, in the lowest, and glory that you and I can see, full of grace and truth. This day, amidst all that you will do and share and enjoy together, hear again the baby's firstborn cry and hear the sounds of grace. The Lord bless you.